thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin and Craig speaking. We're thankful that you are tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our service a blessing to you today. We are opening our service with a mother and daughter and son-in-law singing for us, "I Was Born to Serve the Lord."
From the dust of the earth, my God created man. His breath made man a living soul. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, and that is why I love Him so.
Father, we're truly thankful for the privilege of presenting your gospel to this precious congregation today. We are thankful for the gospel and for what it has done in our own life. And we know that what it has done for us, it will do for others. For Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. So bless our congregation today, bless our broadcast, and use it for your glory and for their good. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody that he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. Then my living will not be in vain. Then my living will not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world, if I can teach love's message as the Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Then my living will not be in vain. Then my living somebody as I pass along, then my living will not be in vain.
On today's broadcast, I would like for us to think about a mother's influence. We want to refer to a number of mothers we read of in the Word of God. We will divide them into two groups, those that did evil and those that did good. Before I get into the thought of our subject today, I would like to mention the fact that God never intended for a woman to become a mother outside of wedlock. God's word clearly condemns fornication, and also it condemns adultery. So God never intended for a woman to become a mother outside of wedlock. After he had formed Adam, then he made Eve, and he made her to be his helpmate. He brought her to him, and she became his wife. And God said to this couple, "Be fruitful and multiply." Now, the first evil woman that I want to refer to, and I suppose she was one of the most wicked that we read of in the Old Testament, although she was certainly not the only one, her name was Jezebel, and she was not a Jewish woman. She was brought in from a heathen land and became a queen to the king there in Israel. And she influenced her husband in an ungodly way in various areas of life, especially in the fact that she brought in hundreds of false prophets who were worshippers of Baal, and she had them to begin to teach the children of Israel to worship Baal. And she endeavored to destroy the influence of the prophet Elijah, because he cried out against her and her husband's evil ways. And we also read in the Bible how her husband wanted Naboth's vineyard, but Naboth would not sell him the vineyard because it had been in his generation or in his family for a number of generations. And Ahab went in and he was lying on the bed pouting about it, and she questioned him as to why he was in that state, and he told her. And so she plotted to have Naboth slain, which she did. But the prophet Elijah prophesied what would happen to her, and to him also, for that matter. The prophet Elijah said that Ahab's blood would be spilled there where he had caused Naboth to be slain. And although King Ahab was wounded some miles from there, they brought him back, and there they washed the blood out of his chariot at the very spot where Naboth had been slain. And then Elijah had prophesied that Jezebel would be eaten by dogs, and that is exactly what happened. She was thrown out of a second floor down on the street, and her body fell there, and dogs came and eat her body, just like Elijah had prophesied. Now, in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he removed his mother from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, that is a pagan shrine, and Asa destroyed her idol because he wanted the people to worship the true and the living God. Now in 2 Kings 11, and also in 2 Chronicles 22, we read about a woman by the name of Athaliah, the mother of Ahaz, or Ahazah, who ruled Judah for a year. And when she saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal, that would be her grandchildren, and one small son was hid that she did not know about. And she did this so that she could get all the possession of the kingdom. Even during the year her son reigned, she was really the ruler of the kingdom. And the book of everyone in the Bible says of her, she was an evil woman who corrupted the nation. After ruling for 6 years, she was overthrown and slain. Now in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, we read of the deeds of a mother that was indeed a very wicked woman. And I will take time to read a number of verses here, beginning with verse 1 of Matthew 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. Therefore mighty deeds or mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John the baptizer, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her, your brother's wife." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted John as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John the Baptizer's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him in meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought the head to her mother. What a wicked, wicked woman that was indeed. Now let us look at some good mothers. In 1 Samuel, we read of a woman by the name of Hannah. And Hannah was the second wife of a man. And the man loved Hannah very much, and maybe even more than his other wife. But the other wife was able to have children, and Hannah was not. And it is evident from the reading of the scriptures that the other wife made fun of Hannah and mocked her because she was unable to have children. So one time they were going to Shiloh, as they did each year, to make an offering. Shiloh was a religious center at that time. And Hannah went, but she was so burdened she would not eat. And her husband, Elkanah, wanted to know why. And he told her. And he said, "Well, I'm better to you than 10 sons would be." But that did not satisfy her. And the high priest there, Eli, thought she was drunk. But she told him, no, she was not drunk. She was a woman of a burdened heart, and she wanted a son. And she promised the Lord, if he would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord as long as he lived. And Eli said, told her in effect that she would have a son, and she did. In less than a year, she had her son. And after she had weaned the son, she took him to Shiloh and left him there with the high priest Eli, just like she had promised the Lord. And we know that son as Samuel, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And he was what he was because of a good, godly mother. In the book of Acts, we read about how Peter was put in prison. The ruler there had already had James slain, and now he had put Peter in jail with the intention of having him slain. And we read about how, here in Acts 12, about how the disciples gathered at John Mark's mother's home, and they had a prayer meeting there in behalf of Peter. And John Mark's mother was a good, godly woman, and she allowed the disciples to come there to have this prayer meeting for Peter. And they did pray, and God heard and answered prayer and delivered Peter out of the prison. And after he got out on the street, he first thought he was dreaming, but the angel led him out on the street and then left him. And then Peter went from there to John Mark's mother's home, where he found the saints of God still there, gathered together in his behalf. So she was a good, godly woman. Now Paul speaks of not only of Timothy's mother, but of his grandmother as well. Timothy was a young man, presumably Although the Bible doesn't specifically say so, it seems that Timothy was converted under Paul's ministry during the time of his first missionary trip through Asia Minor. And this time, Paul was on the second missionary journey, and he heard a good report about Timothy, and he had Timothy to journey with him on his second missionary journey. In fact, Timothy continued with him even after Paul was put in prison there in Rome. And Paul, in writing to Timothy, speaks about his mother and his grandmother as well, Eunice being his mother and Lois being his grandmother. And he was recommending and speaking very highly of both of these women. And, of course, they had a great influence on Timothy. And Timothy was, I suppose, one of Paul's most faithful companions from then on, because he had been brought up in the fear of God, taught the Scriptures, and as I say, doubtless was converted under Paul's ministry during the time of his first missionary trip in that area. I suppose we've all heard about the wisdom of Solomon. There was two women who had babies, and they were staying together, living together, and this one woman laid on her child and it smothered to death. So she slipped over and took the other lady's child out of her bed and put him in her bed. And when they awoke, this one woman realized that the other lady had her child, and they disputed over it, for the one who had smothered her child claimed the other lady's child, and they disagreed, and so they went to Solomon about the matter, that he might settle the problem between the two. And so Solomon said, "Bring me the baby, and bring me a sword, and I'll cut the baby in half, and I'll give the one half to the one and the other half to the other lady." And the one lady agreed to that. But the other lady said, "Oh, no, don't do that. You let her have it." And so Solomon then knew that the one who did not want the child slain was the true mother. And that great wisdom was one of the things that spread not only throughout Israel, but out into other countries as well, of the wisdom of Solomon. And that's one of the things that people were so impressed with. Now, I would like to call your attention to a mother-in-law that was a lovely person indeed. And I speak of Naomi in the book of Ruth. She and her husband and her two sons were living in Bethlehem, but a famine came to the country, and they then went to the country of Moab, and their two sons married there in Moab, and they married Moabitish women, and Mahlon and Chilion, her two sons, died along with her husband, and she was left a widow. Then she heard about how that weather was favorable in Bethlehem for the growing of crops, and so she decided that she would return to her home in Bethlehem. And the two daughter-in-laws determined that they would go with her. But Naomi said, "No, I'm an old lady, and there's no way that I can have a son for you to have a husband. You return to your home and get you a husband so that you can have a family." Well, one of them went back, but the other, Ruth, refused to do so. She was determined to go with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And as they journeyed along, Naomi endeavor to get her to go back again? No, I'm not going. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Wherein thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. So we read in chapter 1 of Ruth, verses 16 and 17. And lo and behold, after they got there, Ruth was married to a man who was the great-grandfather of the great King David. Yes, she was in the line of David. Ruth was in the line of David. And she was a good, godly woman, and God gave her a husband, and he gave her a son. And people rejoiced with her in what God had done for her. Now there are others in the Bible, and not only in the Bible, in history. We read of some very wicked women, queens and so forth, during the history of man. And we also read of those who were good. What we need in America today and in the world is God-fearing mothers, because they have so much influence on their children. And we need to have people who will rear their children in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. For righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Father, we pray that you'll bless our thoughts to the congregation today, and may the Holy Spirit use them to challenge mothers to be good mothers. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing today's Way of Truth broadcast with you. If it's a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us to know our mailing address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can read our Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. You can also join us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service at 6. Our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us next week for another Way of Truth broadcast.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know